Government has assured the public that all suspects linked to political violence during nominations in Mazabuka district have been arrested and are awaiting court appearance. Speaking at a media briefing, Ministry of Information and Media Permanent Secretary Tawo Kawana says authorities are not rehearsing the arrest, rejecting claims made earlier by former Mazabuka Central Member of Parliament Gary Nkombo. He warns that political violence will not be tolerated at any stage of the electoral process and that perpetrators will face the law without exemption, regardless of their political affiliation. Mr. Kawana noted that some of the political incidents were tied to intense competition within the UPND, which received over 3,000 expressions of interest for the 226 constituencies. He stated that the government is prepared to deal divisively with any acts of lawlessness and will not allow a return of the violence seen under previous administrations. The Permanent Secretary added that measures are in place to prevent further disturbances before, during and after elections. He reiterated that protecting public order and ensuring a peaceful electoral process remains a priority for the current administration.
People are entitled to police bond, people are entitled to bail from court, but also people appear before the court of law. And I can assure the nation that the perpetrators of that unfortunate thing will appear before the court. It is also important for us to understand that these unfortunate things have happened now, naturally also because of the kind of competition that has been necessitated. We are talking of 226 seats in Parliament, and here is a political party that has received over 3,000 applications. Competition is tough, but in the midst of that competition, other contenders want to take it for granted.
Energy and business expert Leonard Sepe says increased investment in Zambia's energy sector could position the country as a regional energy export hub. Mr. Sepe notes that such a development could enable Zambia to generate additional revenue and earn foreign exchange. He adds that the country is on course to achieve energy security by 2030, driven by rising investments in the sector. Mr. Sepe highlights that there has been notable investment inflows across subsectors, including renewable energy, petroleum and electricity. He describes this trend as a positive indicator for the country's economic growth and long-term sustainability. And Mr. Sepe adds that there is need for the government to continue creating a conducive environment continuously.
To talk about the massive inflow of investors in the energy sector, what that does is that it will now enable the players in the energy sector to also enjoy some of the energy reforms that the Energy Regulation Board has put in place, one of which is net metering. So what that net metering does is that you can consume right at a domestic level. Then the excess power, you can sell it to ZESCO, to the national grid, which in turn ZESCO can use that power for various purposes, be industrial or domestic.
Financial analyst Muyumba Mutwale has questioned whether the current disbursement models being used by the Citizens Economic Empowerment Commission are effectively achieving their intended objective of creating sustainable businesses. Mr. Mutwale says the average allocation of about 10,000 kwacha under IMISE PELA program per beneficiary raises concerns about the viability of businesses established under the program, noting that it remains unclear whether such amounts are sufficient to start meaningful enterprises. He further questioned whether all beneficiaries are genuinely prepared entrepreneurs, arguing that the success of empowerment programs largely depends on the readiness. Mr. Mtwali stated that while citizens' economic empowerment initiatives are important in improving economic participation, greater emphasis must be placed on ensuring that beneficiaries possess basic entrepreneurial knowledge. He has since urged government to prioritize individuals with some levels of existing businesses.
been signing agreements with the banks to work out frameworks for SME lending. So you know what the credit guarantee scheme does?
Yes.
Okay, so it puts together a guarantee fund, meaning if you now you take out a loan with ABSA, for example, okay, then the government sits behind and says, this person has met all the criteria we have put, and if they fail to pay that loan, we'll step in and pay it. So the bank doesn't have to worry.
Online Taxi Drivers Association of Zambia President Lucas Chanda is calling for immediate gazetting of a statutory instrument number 19 of 2024 to regulate the ride-hailing sector. Statutory instrument number 19 of 2024 is a regulation enacted by government and provides a legal framework on online riding hailing services under the Road Traffic Public Service Vehicle Regulations. And Mr. Chanda says the association submitted its proposals and those submissions are enshrined in the instrument which drivers have been waiting to see implemented. He argues that without the statutory instrument in force, the online taxi industry remains unregulated and operates setting their own prices and standards. Mr. Chanda notes that every country has laws governing its transport sector and Zambia must act to ensure ride-hailing applications and drivers comply with a common law legal framework. He questioned the delay in publishing the instrument in the government's gazette, saying that the industry needs to as soon as possible. Mr. Chanda stated that formal regulation is essential to bring order, protect drivers and create fairness in the market. He urged government to prioritize gazetting the statutory instrument so the online taxi sector can operate within the law.
The quick intervention over the, you know, implement of the statutory instrument number 19 of 2024. We've made sure that, you know, we did our submission and our submissions are enshrined in that constitution, in that statutory instrument. Now, we really need it because, to be honest with you, the taxi industry, the online taxi industry, it is polar. Everyone is coming with their own prices, their own issues, their own stuff. You know, this industry must be regulated in order for, you know, the ride-hailing applications as well as the online taxi drivers must follow the law.
And now, business news. Business news.
Economic analyst Kelvin Chisanga says the Kwacha's 14.8% appreciation against the United States dollar is in the first quarter of 2026 reflects growing confidence in Zambia's economy. Mr. Chisanga attributed the gains mainly to stronger mining sector inflows and improved foreign exchange liquidity in the market. He noted that mining-related forex inflows rose to just over 915 million United States dollars from 759 million United States dollars the same quarter last year, a 20.6% increase compared to 2025. Mr. Chisanga says mining companies contributed 626 million US dollars, while mining tax remittances added nearly 290 million US dollars, with foreign financial institutions injecting over 542 million US to further strengthen liquidity. He explains that a stronger Kwacha helps reduce imported inflation on key items such as fuel, petrochemicals, medicines and industrial inputs, while also boosting investor confidence and supporting macroeconomic stability. With copper production projected to exceed 1 million tons in 2026, Mr. Chisanga says Zambia stands to benefit from higher export earnings and improved growth prospects. However, he cautions that long-term sustainability would depend on diversification and value additions beyond copper exports.
Kwacha's performance in the first quarter has shown some relatively stability sense of performance. Obviously, what we have also seen that it has been heavily backed up by the mining interplay, especially when you look at the mining activities on both production and export side. So the Kwacha has been strengthened by the mining in large parts.